What is going on, you guys? Thanks again for joining us for another episode of The Clyde's, a place where we talk about ministry, life, relationships, and pretty much anything else that we're learning in our life. This episode is really cool because it's going to be a giant synopsis, a review, I guess, of a conference that Liz recently got to go to. It's called the IF Gathering.
Yes.
Like 15,000 women, right?
13,000.
13,000 slammed in this arena in Texas. And man, just seeking the Lord, trying to get closer together, trying to grow. And so if you remember a couple episodes ago, we talked about conferences and growth, and she may have teased that she's going to this. But today is really special, and we're really excited that you're joining us for this one, because she's going to take us through a lot of the nuggets that she got from it and a lot of the really cool things that she thought was best to share with you. And I don't even know these things yet.
Yes, it was hard not to come back and just want to tell you everything, because I wanted to have a conversation with you, because I was challenged a lot. And plus, it's just a good reminder, because things, you know, you've read scripture before, but when someone else speak it, they can get almost like new, like divine revelation, if you will. And you just don't think about that scripture.
It feels fresher. Yeah,
it does.
Yeah,
because it's a different perspective, because they're now telling it through their lens and what sure. spoke to their life.
Yeah. So what do you want to do? How do you want to do this? You want to jump
right in? I went through my notes and I highlighted like the good nugs, you know, all good nugs, but I really wanted to eat nuggets
while doing this.
I just felt like that would be a distraction all the way around.
No. Can you imagine if on the table we had a 30 count
Chick-fil-A nugget,
just
nugget
chilling thing. And the whole time we were just like, yeah. So what do you think about
ASMR video podcast of this mac?
Canceled.
No. But anyway, so you just have to get my spiritual nugs, since I can't have Chick-fil-A nugs.
Yeah. I'll give it to us. What you got?
So Christine Kane opened the conference.
Can you give us, like, if they don't know who Christine Kane is, who is she?
It's so cool, because when we think of missionaries, we think of how we as Americans will go to Africa and Guatemala and different poor countries that may not have access to Jesus. Well, Christine Kane is a missionary from Australia to America, and she's bringing Jesus and revival to America, which is something you kind of don't really think about. It's against the norm, because we have so much access to Jesus.
Yeah.
But yet, if you look at the statistics, you know, a lot of Americans do not or choose not to believe in the name of Jesus. So it's just really cool. This is my first time. I've heard so many of her messages, but I've never seen her live before.
She's phenomenal.
And yeah, she's a fun, she's a fireball. Super encouraging to like just see older women still be relevant. She is a little bit up there. I'm not going to say any ages, because I don't want her to hate me. I still want to be her friend one day. But it's so refreshing to see someone. You can be older, but still in touch, or you don't have
relevant,
to.
Relevant,
relevant is, yeah. Wow, that was hard. Relevant.
So good.
So I'm just going to give like one good highlight. She preached on Mark 6:30, and I'm not going to have time to read all the scriptures that I'm going to touch on. So Mark 6:30, if you want to just read that on your own time, she said, "Revival will inconvenience your balanced life." When we talked about balance last week. And so you don't really think about how revival inconveniences. You think whenever you get to know God, everything's going to work out. But that's not how it goes.
I think that the biggest thing for a long time ago, I heard somebody say that we would much rather, they were talking about the context of like having, you know, youth ministry and kids ministry in church. And a lot of times youth ministry can get pegged for being destructive and scratching up the walls and inconveniencing the church. And they said, I would rather have dirty horse stalls than perfectly clean ones. And I think I butchered the delivery of that. But really what they're talking about was they would rather have a church that was a little bit messy but full of life rather than a perfectly clean, pristine, empty church that's completely void of life. And it's the same thing. It's like, I've always heard that structure within the church plays catch up to the Holy Spirit. So when God breathes a move and he breathes something within the church, it happens and it's organic and it's messy and it's evolving and it's growing. And we get the job then to come alongside and go, okay, we have to build a system for this. We've got to steward this moment. We've got to make sure these resources are allocated to this. So we're catching up to what the Lord is doing And so, yeah, I mean, it inconveniences us because I think we've got to then adapt and change what we were normal, you know, what was normal for us at the time.
And we get so content with our lifestyle and we like what we like. We really do not like change.
Sure. It's not a comfort thing for us. Yeah. That's good.
So yeah, surprisingly, I didn't have a ton up because it was their 10th anniversary. They had so much powerhouses. They did not go full on. Like it was almost like sermonettes, if you will. Like 20 minutes.
You were always left wanting more.
Yes, yes.
Which is a positive way to say that.
And then I was like, give me more.
Yeah.
But then after that, they had a little, like just a little panel of Q&A. I didn't really write anything down from that. But once again, just young people. And one person was like an author. One person was a podcaster. But one thing I just remembered thinking, I was like, I wish I could speak that well. And I've talked about my speech impediment. And listening back on like our episodes and whatnot, I cringe. I hate that I stumble over words. I hate that I get tired and I slur. I hate that English was not my best subject, so my grammar's not that great. Mm. I feel very self-conscious about it. And I just remember thinking, I'm like, I can never do that. Like I'm never, and I've shared before how I felt called to preach and go on the stage, and I joined a communications podcast cohort to write books and to grow myself because I felt like the Lord has done it. But you know, it's those little nagging voices as I'm watching these women like preach to 13,000 people. I was like, I can't do that. I'm not qualified to do that.
Yeah.
And do you know who came on next? Because I didn't look at the lineup and I didn't really know some of these speakers. It's a woman called Catherine Wolf.
Okay.
And she had a stroke about 15 years ago. So half of her face is paralyzed and she's in wheelchairs. She can't walk. And it's not a comparison, of course, but, you know, because of half of her face is paralyzed, she was not the most eloquent speaker.
Sure.
And so I literally went from, like, you know, thinking, I'm looking down, kind of. I don't know what I'm doing. Like I'm on my iPad and stuff and I just hear, I'm coming. And she has like a raspy voice. I'm like, okay, she's coming.
What is happening?
Yeah. I was like, where is she coming from? And then I see like, she's, you know, having trouble getting her wheelchair up on the stage. And I'm like,
oh.
And so I just felt like the Lord is so like merciful for like that situation. It really touched me. I was like, okay. I read in the scripture where he used Moses and he had a stuttering problem.
Yeah.
I'm getting like a little emotional because it really touched me. But like just to kind of like see that, I'm like, oh, he can use me too. Even if I have a speech impediment. It was really.
And the timing. This was a multi-day conference. Anybody could have spoken after you had that thought.
Anyone could have spoken. But I literally had that intrusive thought and right immediately I saw that. And I was just like, wow.
That is crazy stuff.
And then,
you're right, though. It's not a comparison thing, and it's not a pity thing. You're not looking at her and you're going, man, if she, with all of those limitations and handicaps, can do it.
Yeah, if she can do it, I definitely could do
that's
it.
That's not the thought. It was like she was operating in what most people would consider a handicap, and it was like giving you permission that you could borrow some courage. You know what I'm saying? Like it was encouraging to you seeing her do it. And I think I explained that well. It's just, it's not pity at all.
No.
It's her going, hey,
you can do this. That's one of the bravest like people out there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and you have, she said it so well. Like you could have so many excuses.
Oh, 100%.
And I love what she said, Catherine Wolf. She says, we get to be living survival guides instead of wounded healers. So we can literally show people the survival guides, you know what I mean? Like, instead of like pity us, like, oh, we're wounded, but you know, God's healing. But no, it's just such that perspective shift. And she had so much gusto and so much sass. And she says, don't miss the miracle of God in front of you because you are looking for a miracle that fits in the status quo.
Yep.
So it's like, you're just like, God, where's my miracle? And you just miss all the miracles around you. And she was just talking about, I can't remember how old she was, but she was a new mother.
Mm-hmm.
Like she had a baby when she had her stroke and I think it was sudden. And so one of her miracles is she got to be a mom again. like despite all odds and stuff like that. And so like she's seeing the miracle of being a second mom again, instead of like, where's my miracle of healing? Where's my miracle of this? Where's my miracle of that?
Yeah.
Where God is giving you so many, it's just not fitting your status quo, what you think it is.
And it's the same thing we talked about last night in our small group. We are so scared of conflict and tension that we try to remove all of that friction in our life. And in reality, if we slow down and get a little bit of perspective and wisdom, we realize that the struggle is what shapes us into looking more like Christ. Because unless that diamond, or that coal, I guess, is chipped away, right? Like it's like refined, it becomes the diamond when that pressure, when that struggle happens. There's that refining process of gold that a lot of times, you know, you hear about in sermons and things like that. And unless we embrace the struggle, we never grow. We never progress. We never become more like Christ. So that's good.
Next, a little tidbit nuggets. It is from Jenny Allen, who is 10 years ago. She was the one that started the If Gathering. Mm. I cannot think of her church's name right now. Just somewhere in Texas. But
it kinda, is it Watermark?
Maybe. I'm not sure. But that's another cool thing. Jenny, obviously, it's grown. 10 years of faithfulness. This conference has grown.
Oh, sure.
So much. And so much humility. So much humbleness. So much, like, in awe what the Lord has done. Like, I can't believe we're here. Like, look at God. And so she, super humble.
That's awesome.
So she kind of talked about, I have it written down, Hebrews 12:1-2. And it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so she used that scripture pretty much just saying, dude, run your race, cheer and cheer for others around you. And when you're running your race, I have to reread it.
No, go.
But when you're running your race, it says, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, perfect of faith. Because you can run really fast, but if your eyes aren't fixed on Jesus, you could be running in the wrong direction.
Right. You veer off.
Mm-hmm. And so she just did a really like cool, I guess, like an effect thing. Like we're all going to have circumstances. Yep. We're all going to have circumstances that can lead to hurt. But we have to be careful, because when we allow our circumstance to lead to hurt, we can be hurt. But if we don't give it to Jesus, if we're not running our race with our eyes on Jesus, and that hurt is going to turn into a bitterness.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a stronghold on us. And when that bitterness and stronghold, if we don't take care of it, is going to make us apathetic to a numb. And when that numbness happens, it leads to sin. And when that sin happens, it leads to addiction. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, she like painted how it could just so easily fall in. And we hear about the backslid Christian and the people who decide not to follow Jesus anymore. Or they're like, why? It's pretty much that cycle, you know, dog going back to their own vomit. Why can't I, you know, get past this?
It's a cycle.
It's a cycle. And so that was really, really cool.
You mentioned something about running your lane, run your race, and cheer others on. Why do you think it's so hard, not just in the context of women, because that tends to get a stigma, you know? Why do you think it's so hard for us to cheer on the people who are running the race with us?
I think a lot of it comes from insecurity, jealousy, and I guess being competitive. If you are winning, I feel like I am losing, even though we're not, we can both win. So I feel like it kind of comes with a poverty mindset with that. I know me personally, like I have best friends and we talk a lot about finances and we cheer each other on, but then there's sometimes, and you have to kind of die to yourself flesh daily, when you hear someone getting a blessing, you're kind of like, where's mine?
Where it at, though?
Exactly. And I was like, ooh, like, you just got a big financial blessing.
Yeah.
You just got an inheritance. Must be nice to have, you know, wealthy family members.
Had.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Had. You know. Not LOL, but like, okay, stop. But, you know, like, it's so natural because it's all about comparison. And you've said it before, quoting Jason Burbacher, who stole it from someone, I'm sure. Comparison is the death of contentment. Yep. So when I get jealous sometimes because, like, it must be nice to get an inheritance where I have to pay to for, like, family members own their canteen. Or I have to do X, Y, and Z, or I'm not going to have that security down the road. I'm not going to have grandparents. My kids aren't going to have grandparents to pay for their college. So it's, you know, it's all about that comparison of, well, dang, I'm angry now.
Yeah.
And, or you can just flip and, like, man, I am so thankful that God gave me the wisdom to steward finance as well, so I can break this generational curse of debt. And now I can change my kids' legacy because I'm not going to go to college without debt. Yeah. I'm going to pay for it. So it's just one of those, that mindset shift.
It is true. It's like the lady that you said spoke before this. What was her name? Wolf?
Catherine Wolf.
Catherine Wolf, when she was talking about viewing those miracles. I think that a lot of times those miracles happen. I always, anytime I'm leading worship, I always tend to go in this direction of reminding people that God loves spending time with us in the mundane and in the boring and in the small routine things of life, where you'll have, I don't know, it's just, man, like, miracles are not just your leg growing 2 inches on a missions trip, or it's not just the dead being raised. Miracles can be so small, but a lot of times we just don't see them. We miss them because they're not flashy or exciting. They don't sparkle, they don't shine, but they are miracles nonetheless. And so, if we could just get that perspective and go, man, like, God has been good to me. This is awesome. I can stay in my lane. I can cheer on others because I don't have to worry about not getting my piece of the pie, because it's big enough for everybody. Jesus, it's a pizza pie.
An ever-living pie, if you will.
He's the pie of life.
Pie of life.
He's the bread of life. There's bread and pizza.
Okay. Anyway, going up for it. Then Sadie Robertson also talked.
Sadie Robertson Huff.
Okay, I was going to ask you. I'm such a goober because I'm like, that name sounds so familiar.
Seriously?
Stop it!
Every, like, young adult Christian wanted to marry her back in the day.
But remember, I didn't grow up in the church. And
true, true.
Also a female.
Yeah, true, true.
Did not ever want to marry her.
Good point.
So I'm like, that name sounds familiar. So I linked over. I was like, who is that? They're like, Doug Dynasty? It's like, Uncle Si. That's who I remember from Dunk Dynasty, is Uncle Si. I don't know who Sadie Roberts is. Anyway, what's kind of cool is, and she, this wasn't even in her message, but she was saying how kind people are, and how someone, as she was walking up on the stage, or before she walked up on the stage, kind of pulled her aside and said, hey, I'm praying for you. Don't let the people on the internet get you down. And so Sadie was...
Does she have beef on the internet right now?
I guess. I don't know. I didn't look it up. And I've talked about... I don't know. Have I opened up about my cyberbullying?
Maybe.
On the podcast? But anyway, just because I've been cyberbullied and my name has been slandered online and...
Kind of resounded.
Dude, it
resonated.
Yeah, it resonated so, like, I mean, this is the next day after Catherine Wolf, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, same, you know? And she had a great message, but the coolest thing I wanted to share with you, she got to be a part of Illuminate, I think that's how you say it.
Illuminati?
No.
LOL.
Illuminate, which is an organization that is trying to bring scripture, so every native language has a Bible. And they're like, every culture has a Bible in the native heart, or they call it the heart language.
Yeah.
And so she got to go to Guatemala, which was our first mission trip. And do you remember our mission trip, how we had to have 3 translators because they spoke a different language that wasn't Spanish?
Yeah.
So we had to talk to someone in English, and they talked to someone in Spanish, and then talk to someone in Kichi. But Kichi, I'm so sorry, I'm saying the language wrong. But I forgot what the language was, but that's where she was going for that language. So our
That's nuts. Wow.
I know. So she went to the same people where we had our first missions trip to.
They probably told her about us.
That was probably it. Sadie, you have friends now?
So this was a super young kid. He didn't have a beard. He was kind of a baby.
He didn't have a beard then?
No.
Wow.
That no person.
But that was just so cool. But this organization, because of technology advancing, they had this projection to have a Bible in every language way off. But now with just people's generosity, I think they raised like over $2 million in 10 minutes with a QR code.
Gosh.
Fantastic, right? But we, in our lifetime, before you and I die, Taylor, there's going to be a physical Bible fully translated in every single heart language.
And then the Lord comes.
Maybe. But isn't that just like wild to think about? Like in our lifetime.
That's pretty wild.
We will have the opportunity to see the Bible access in every like
language. That's crazy. That is wild.
Yeah, and they had a really cool video. If you guys wanted to Google Sadie Robinson Huff and Illuminate. Yeah, I'm trying not to say the other one. In Guatemala, it was a really
cool,
really cool video.
I never heard her speak. What is her style? She's probably quirky, you know what I'm saying?
She was a little quirky. She had such a sweet story about her daughter. And so her daughter was... She had to take her son to a doctor's appointment, so her mom came with her, and so she left her daughter with Willie, grandpa, and, well, with her husband, and I guess they live close by. Mm-hmm. So her husband was a gym Nazi, and so he really wanted to work out, so then he dropped his daughter off at grandpa, Willie, and so Willie's, like, fixing up some stuff and takes his eyes off of the granddaughter for, like, maybe 5-ish minutes. And she just decides that she wanted to walk home.
Yeah, she did.
And which is like half a mile for, I think, like a 4 or 5 year old.
Gosh.
Pretty impressive.
Oops.
And so when she asked her, it's like, why did you walk home? The daughter's like, I just wanted to go. I wanted to see my dad. I wanted to be where my dad was. Just like childlike. I mean, no, yeah, my heart.
Normally,
busted.
If anybody was just telling the story, I'd be like, oh, that's precious. But if you tell it at a Christian conference, people are like, that's Jesus! I just want to be with you!
That's lit. I know, right? It's like, everything is hyper-spiritual at conferences.
And I love it.
It's so fun. And so, but what's really cool is, you're like, well, make sure you tell Grandpa. Like, so cool. Good job. Make sure you tell Grandpa. But what we didn't know until later is her brother was down from college. And when everyone was like, I can't believe this happened. He's like, oh, I knew it happened. They're like, what do you mean? He's like, oh, she told me she was going. So she had eyes on her the whole time she was going. So she was being watched over. So that was just, it was just cool.
Again, say that at a Christian conference, the room loses their mind.
Jesus!
Dang. That's cool. Yeah, she's got like a massive influence, and I love it. I just never heard her speak. She spoke at Passion.
The one that a young adult she spoke to?
Yeah, she was at Passion.
Yeah, she played her like little 4-year-old video of her like preaching like how everyone just needs to Jesus.
Oh, snap.
And it was so country. She does not have the country accent. Like, that it was so funny, very cute. But it just shows, like, man, what faithfulness, you know?
Yeah.
But raising a kid and, like, just showing him the love of Jesus.
Dude, it's just cool. I look at, I was talking to Mike Mercer at breakfast or coffee the other day, and he plays guitar and sings now at Goose Creek.
Cool.
And I told him that he stinks is the word I'm going to use here. I used the S-U-C-K-E-D word in person. I said, dude, you suck for waiting this long until I leave to get on the stage. Because we could have had fun.
Spell it and then say it.
Because we're all adults here. And so
why
it's
did it
cool.
Take so long to like spell it?
No, that is concerning. We should talk about that.
Go ahead. English is not my best.
So I told him, I said, man, it's so cool because not only does he get to sing and play at Goose Creek now, his son, I think it's his oldest son now, is actually playing bass now.
Oh,
the team.
That's
so
cool.
He was talking about that, and I said, man, I love so much that you get a chance to do that with him. That is so special. And you look at, like, Sadie's like the same way, but it shows you, I think it's encouraging to a lot of people because you can look at the big bad world and go, oh my gosh, like this thing is going to hell in a handbasket. This is terrible, blah, blah. But you look at the fruit that, some people, not all of us, but some people are receiving by raising up their kids, and you see this amazing thing happen. And it just gives you hope, you know? It shows you, man, God is still moving and he's still operating in these things behind the scenes. And it works out for a lot of us. So it's a hope thing for me. That's good stuff.
It is. Okay, I'll be quick with my other highlights. But do you remember when I went to Chosen? I think it was 4 years ago. It was right after the tragedy happened with my sister and whatnot. Do you remember the book I got by Bianca Olof and how she really ministered to me? No, that one's Lisa. This one was How to Have Your Life Not Suck.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You can't say that. You got to spell it, Liz.
Oh, whatever. But she was there, too. And so...
Dang.
When you're in your brokenness, everything, you're just kind of, you're searching for anything. At least I was searching for anything to cling on to, just for Jesus. Yeah. Like, are you there? Do you still love me? Like, do you still see me?
Yeah, give me something.
So once again, the happenstance, I kind of think not, but she was there and she preached a message on Boaz and like redeeming Ruth and
I remember that.
Whatnot. She didn't preach that this time because that would have been concerning.
Thanks, Bianca. Thanks for the hard work, you know, and the growth that you've done in yourself.
So I was really looking for that was because I did glance at the speakers list, but I didn't look up every single speaker I didn't know. But I knew Bianca and I was really excited.
Cool.
And so she just said, you never know God is all you need until God is all you have.
Dang.
So good. And I've been there.
I was going to say, your nose is doing that flare thing. Something to say.
So good.
Talk about it, Liz.
She just did so good. She talked about Mark 4, and it's when Jesus just finished feeding, like, the 5,000s, mm-hmm. and I'm sure they're tired. Like, whenever you have a big Easter Sunday, you're tired afterwards. This is why you get that Monday off. But they went into the boat, and she talked about how there will be storms in our lives. But how would we respond? So she's talking specifically about when Jesus said, let us get into the boat. You see, I'm getting tired. Let us get into the boat and go to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the storm came and the disciples were like, where is he at? Is he sleeping? And she's such an amazing storyteller. If you have not heard of Bianca Olof, I encourage you to like look her up on YouTube. Because you would love this, creative.
Talk to me.
Taylor.
You almost said creative pastor.
I did, but you're so...
Cancel!
Anyway, you would love this. She's like, but I want you guys to experience it.
Okay.
Lights off. Huge screens. You saw the screens of my story. There's a wave now. And so now there's like a storm. And she's literally yelling. She's like, what's happening? Where's Jesus? We're going to tip over. So she's like yelling, like kind of like what the dialogue she would assume the disciple would be. She's like, I found him. He's here sleeping. Why is he sleeping? Wake him up. Lord, Lord, don't you see we're about to capsize? Are we going to survive? Jesus, don't you even care? And she's like, and Jesus just says, peace, be still. And that's when it like ceases. And there's like, you know, then the screen goes into a sunset or a sunrise or something like that. And... you know, the lights turn up. And so she's such an amazing storyteller.
I like that.
So good. But what she said that kind of when this was one of the things where you read the scriptures before, but you hear it in a new light.
Mm-hmm.
She said, Jesus wasn't panicked because he has the power to bring peace. When Jesus gives the command, we can rest. And so God gave us a promise and it is it's on the other side. Jesus said, let us go to the other side. Let us get into the boat. So Jesus told us to get into the boat.
And he obviously thought that they could get to the other side.
Yeah, and he's the peace.
Dang,
the
that's
peace
wild.
Is with us in the boat. And the one, the one who brings peace is in the boat with you. So he gave a command. He said, let's go to the other side. So he's going to fulfill his command. So how are we going to respond when life brings a storm? Are we going to be frantic? These were seasoned fishermen.
Mm-hmm.
Like they knew what to do. It wasn't a whole, like they weren't out of their element. They've been in boats before. They've been in storms before.
Sure.
And so it just kind of shows.
Mm.
Yeah, it was cool. I didn't really think about that.
That was good.
Jesus commanded, let us get into the boat and go to the other side. So how are we going to respond when we know Jesus is in our boat?
I like that.
Mm-hmm. And then wrapping up, well, David Platt wrapped up. And he kind of, he was great. I didn't really do any highlights with him. I think at that time I was just really sleep tired.
Sad day.
I mean, and, but he was so good. I wrote, but I didn't, you know, it was.
Don't yell at me. It's fine.
It was, well, he wrapped up. I want to end with David.
Do it.
I just wrote for David, like, Jesus knows you. He loves you. He was doing that good reminder, you know, nothing for me to highlight about, but it was still like speaking to the soul.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, man. What a way to end.
Yeah. And he's so, so intentional. Like, very few people could speak to a room of 13,000 and you can't even see his face from where I'm sitting, but I felt like he was speaking to me.
Dang.
Looking at that screen. So, so good. So I mainly just listened to him and didn't write.
Yeah. He's kind of got a, he's sort of kindred spirits with like a Francis Chan, I would say, that are very, they will connect to you on several different levels below the surface. Yeah, it's really good.
But then Jada Edwards closed, and she's a good old Southerner. So you know what she preached on?
Hmm.
Try and guess.
She probably preached on mercy.
No,
forgiveness.
Southerner.
Grady.
Close. You're getting closer.
Biscuits.
Closer.
Grits.
Think of liquid.
Marsh. Salt water.
No.
Sweet tea.
Yeah, sweet tea.
First try.
So she was just saying how she loves her sweet tea.
God, same. Amen. Hey, thanks so much for... Enough said.
Right.
That's awesome.
Every single time. And so she was saying how she was doing yard work. And, you know, she wanted that good old glass of sweet tea. But it wasn't hitting like it usually does. It wasn't quenching her thirst like it usually does.
And what did you do, Jada?
Her mom was like, it's because you need water. She's like, I don't need water. But she was dehydrated and didn't even know it. And so her whole scripture piece was John 7:35-36, the woman at the well.
Living water.
Yep. And they even played the clip from Chosen. And it's not the Chosen. It's the new season of Chosen with the Samaritan woman at the well. Yeah, it's a new season, so I haven't seen that. So I got like little sneak previews of Chosen at.
Wait, but no, that was in an earlier season.
Was it that one at the
earlier? Yeah, girl.
Oh, it was at the, you're right. There was another one they did at the earlier.
Oh, okay.
Season. I got excited about. Gosh, you're right, because it was the funny one when the disciples were like, "Who gave him food?" And I showed you that one. You're right.
Yeah, it was funny. Gosh.
But it was another scene they played. I was like, "Wasn't there
any exclusive access?"
I know. So she was talking about sweet tea, and what I highlighted here, are we able to admit that we are thirsty?
Mm.
If we are going to have our thirst quenched, we have to get vulnerable and admit we are thirsty.
Mm.
So that's something I struggle with, because I don't like vulnerability.
Yeah, okay.
At all. And we have to identify what is my real thirst. Getting through the day is not an abundant living.
Mm.
And so even I say it, how's it going? Just surviving. Just, you know.
My answer is always, hey, how's it going? I'm like, another day. It used to be another day, another dollar. And now I've changed it to another day in paradise.
Mm-hmm. Do you really mean that though? Or is it like the bless your heart?
No, sometimes I mean it.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be another day, another dollar. That was true. Yeah, didn't enjoy what I was doing. But now it's like, man, thriving and surviving.
Okay. So, what I really, and gosh, the Samaritan woman with the scene from Chosen, it just hit. It does bring, I feel like, the Bible into a perspective of. These are real people with real problems. They're not just stories.
Yeah, man. You know?
And so she said that Jesus isn't about long distance relationship. Jesus wants to be near you.
Mm.
And in the clip they played at the Chosen, he told the Samaritan woman, I was like, I came all the way here for you. Like, I'm not passing by this well by happenstance.
Which is so true.
Yeah, he's like, I came all this way for you. I'm here when no one else is here, in the hot midday while you're drying while asking for a drink from you. Because I needed to be near you.
Do you remember when I preached on this, and he took his disciples like miles out of the way. They could have gone around Samaria as Jews. That would have been more culturally acceptable because Jews and Samaritans had beef. He could have gone around, saved time, but he went like an hour or two or miles out of the way to go straight through Samaria. And so even the disciples were like, this is weird. But yeah, no. And then he says, like, I came here for you. Like,
yeah. And so it just puts that wow. About that long distance relationship.
Yeah.
Like he wants to be near us. He wants to know us.
Yeah.
So good. And she kind of talked about how God's presence should be home base, because we cannot have abundance living if we are not quenched by Jesus Christ.
Mm.
So a lot of the times we, and I'm guilty of it too, and I feel God, I don't believe God causes, well, sometimes storms, they grow us and whatnot, because we talked about this in small group
mm-hmm.
last night. Why does God let bad things happen? But if I literally lived every single day in paradise, what would I have? Would I have the same gusto to pray the prayers I've prayed? Because I've literally like have, I mean, what brings me to, yes, like the goodness and mercies of God, like I'll get on my knees like doing worship and I'll pray and whatnot, but like what has really like made me cry out to the God is like my broken heart and me wailing, not knowing what to do, and like I just screaming, I need you, God.
Yeah, if you had all the answers, you wouldn't need faith.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't need to trust because you have all the answers.
Yeah. And so I just kind of having like God's presence as home base, like always like having that around. And so I always, and you have ebbs and flows, but really your connection with Jesus should not be an ebb and flow. It needs to be home base.
Yeah. That's your default.
Mm-hmm. And so that was a good reminder of like, this is home base. Like whether when I come running, I run to home base. I come home.
That's so good.
Mm-hmm. And that was just a few nuggets. So I'm waiting for the email where I can buy the access for a year.
Girl, two of your friends already bought it.
Is it already out?
They said they already got it.
Jerks.
Guess they didn't tell you in the group
chat. I have 51 right now unread emails. I also... stop. I also came home with 7 new books. And I'm 8 days behind on my Bible reading plan, so I'm just kind of, I do not.
You're a hot mess express.
I'm not a hot mess. I just have a lot on my plate, and I'm not time managing well because I'm overwhelmed. But getting back into work and just, I've been vegging out hard because I'm like, I'm tired, I'm resting, and yeah.
Nah, you got it though.
I do have.
You got a lot of good books you got to come to, and a lot of good books.
Yeah, so I need to. I just need to watch less anime.
Well, that's an insight onto our little therapy, our little couple therapy.
Oh, and that's another thing too. Like physical therapy takes another 3 hours out of the week now.
Don't tell them. Tell yourself. Minister to yourself.
I am. That's what when I literally said, Jesus needs to be home base. I'm preaching to me.
Dang.
You know, I'm preaching to me. Like, I have all this good intention. And, that's something else I kind of wanted to talk about, too. Because you get so on fire. And I shared this in my group chat. Mm. I feel like that was probably the best. I love all these nuggets. I'm going to get emotional again. But, gosh, I hate being emotional. I hate being vulnerable. But I feel the best outcome of this weekend was now we have a group chat and we're still in our group chat. We're still kind of like texting and we're going to check up on each other.
Why does that make you emotional?
Because I say that because of what I'm about to say now.
Mm.
Because I got back Sunday, super on fire, but then it's Wednesday now. So really, I've technically only had Monday, Tuesday. If you think about it, fully days home since I got back Sunday, late afternoon. And so it's so discouraging if you're not careful. Because I got to go away. Mm-hmm. I got to step out of my mess.
Yeah.
I got to disconnect. I got to be so filled with Jesus. So awesome. Good.
Great.
Yes, so good. But what I have to remember, I am now I shared it with you. I am now stepping back into my mess. Nothing around me has changed. And it can be so disheartening and so discouraging. And so I started feeling that a little bit yesterday. I just started feeling it, which is why I vegged out hard on the anime. Because it's a distraction and it helps me kind of cope a little bit, which we've talked about that before. Hobbies done too much can be bad. And so I even texted in my group chat kind of saying, and it led me, I was very proud of it, and I'll just kind of read it because someone just kind of like was like, thanks again so much for this weekend.
Yeah.
Loved it. Haven't laughed that hard in a long time. And so I, you know, trying to stay vulnerable, I was like, I needed this weekend to remind myself it's okay to let others into my mess and not hold on to the image of having it all under control with fake humility. And I just told them I was thankful for them because I try and have it. It's like, oh, well, God's got this. And I know it and sure. I believe it.
Right.
But yes. But it's kind of like fake humility, if you will, like, you know, trusting in God, you know, his plan.
Not fake humility. I would say it's not being vulnerable.
Maybe that's kind of what I'm going for. It's not. And so I'm trying. So I feel like that's really the gem of the weekend. And I love my friend group that I go to, but these three that I went with, they're all in ministry. And so I kind of have a little bit more of the people beside me, and I, you know, a couple of them are like a season ahead as well because they're fantastic moms with family. But it was just refreshing, and so I just wanted to encourage people, whenever you do get to be refilled and replenished and recharged, the devil doesn't like that. He's going to want to take that away.
Yeah.
He's going to want to put obstacles and remind you how you're not good enough. He's going to try and tell you you're not worthy. He's going to try and tell you that it was just a weekend thing and you're not really changed. You're not good enough. And so I just have to remember or remind myself it's my same mess, but I have a new perspective. I have a little bit thicker armor, if you will, to fight with. And I'm going to stay at my home base, which is it's my father's house.
It's good.
His home is safe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was
a good weekend for you.
It was a good weekend. And I'm tired, if I'm honest. But I'm ready to be more consistent. Because even, like, I'm doing, like I said, I'm behind in my Bible reading days. And I'm loving the 90-day.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to commit to the four, like I said.
Yeah.
But I'm
reading the Bible 4 times a year.
Yeah, but I'm like, you know, I really need to, I'm feeling called to go deeper in studies. And so I don't know what that looks like, but I made a commitment. Well, I didn't make a commitment, but I told my revolution on air.
Resolution, yeah.
Resolution, I always say it wrong.
Well, the resolution will cause a revolution in your heart.
Yeah.
But and if you don't do it, they'll be revolted at you.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, sad day. That's awesome, though.
Thanks. Thanks for sharing all my nugs with you guys. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it was cool. Fun. I'm really glad you got to get away.
I missed you.
We all missed you as well.
Talking about the dog.
Yep, me and the dog.
Who's but
and the cat, I guess.
Yeah. And the cat. The cat doesn't. Well, she's the one that sleeps with me, so I guess she missed me a little bit.
Well, that's that, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. You already saw the Q&A. If you're listening on Spotify, drop your favorite speaker who you've ever heard. It could be your favorite pastor that you listen to. It could be your favorite podcaster. I kind of turned off the feature that would allow Liz to do this and not pay attention because she's already said that she struggled with paying attention to things and life management.
My peace in.
And so I took your peace away. No more peace, be still. But hey, answer that Q&A if you're listening on Spotify. I just found out that we can post your responses to that. So as we get these in, we're going to continue to post those so everybody can share those. It's cool. But share your favorite.
Post the non. Well, this one wouldn't be like super.
Yeah, no, if you share vulnerable stuff, like, I'm not going to post that.
That's just yours.
But let us know who your favorite speaker is, who your favorite conference person was, whoever you've heard. That's going to be really fun. As always, if you're watching on Spotify, if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to give this a thumbs up. Maybe post a comment below. Maybe share it with a friend.
Can't you like watch on Spotify too now?
Yeah.
That's wild to me.
Yeah, it is super fun. We hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I'm going to be posting, actually, I might have already posted this. So be on the lookout for a bonus episode. It may have already happened. It may be happening, but I had a really cool idea and I'm excited to share it with you. But anyways, until next time, we should talk about something else really, really awesome. We'll see you on the flip side.
Bye-bye.